And now coming to you nearly live from a mine shaft buried deep beneath Virginia City, Nevada, it's the Storyteller Podcast. I'm your host, Sam Toll, and I went out to an event this weekend and spoke with a candidate who's running against Jim Wheeler for a Nevada Assembly, Patricia Ackerman. Patricia is a Democrat. She lives in Douglas County. And she is a very passionate, concerned citizen who has taken the challenge to run as the Democratic Party candidate for the Assembly District that represents Story County. So I caught up to her and asked her some questions regarding her stance on a number of different positions and got her responses. They're very interesting and. I'm going to play them for you in a minute. The Storyteller has been quite active lately. For those of you who don't know, Lance Gilman is suing me, Sam Toll, for defamation of character for being in the crosshairs of some of the attention of the articles that I've pushed forward. So we're collecting funds for the defense to pay my lawyers. If you're interested in kicking down a few bucks, you can go to the storyteller.online or to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/thestoryteller, and click on the GoFundMe link. Even if it's $5, it'll definitely help. We've got some great traction. We're at nearly the $1,000 mark of the $5,000 lawyer bill, and I'm really just absolutely humbled, and my heart is very warm by the outreach of the many people who have given me financial support and who have given me, their confidence and their support verbally and emotionally. If you don't want to use the PayPal or the GoFundMe link and you just want to send a check, feel free to do so. I've received probably a half dozen financial donations, which, by the way, avoid the percentage that GoFundMe and PayPal take. Go ahead and send those to Box 78 in Virginia City, Nevada, 89440. I do want to point out that I pushed a piece that held Scott Jilkover in a poor light. I did not produce or take the normal effort that I normally do with a piece. It was a paragraph. I was kind of being glib and pushing things tongue in cheek ish. So, not tongue in cheek. I mean, I was serious. There were serious allegations made, and Scott took umbrage with those. I printed an apology and want to make mention of that here in case someone may not have seen that. I was wrong in my characterization of Mr. Jilkover, and over the top in what I said without doing the normal investigation that I normally do, and so I have apologized to Scott on that platform, and I'm doing so here. I'm not going to read the entire thing, but Scott, I'm very sorry for what I said. I know we spoke directly. And I'm going to clear the air at the next commissioner meeting as well. So with that being said, let's listen to Patricia Ackerman and learn a little bit about what she stands for, what she hopes to accomplish should she get elected to to represent us in the Nevada State Assembly.
Thank you.
So we're here with Trish Ackerman, who is running for Nevada Assembly. She's going to be facing, Mr. Jim Wheeler, who's been representative in this district for some time. I'm curious to learn from you what do you stand for? What's driving you to run this cycle?
Well, it's a very, very frank and simple answer. The 2016 election, that was the motivating factor for me. I became a 24/7 activist. I've never done that in my life. I've never been in politics prior. This has happened to obviously millions of people. I'm not alone in this. And through the activism, I started getting people coming up to me and saying, you. They started pointing their fingers at me. You know what? We've been watching, we like what we see, why don't you run for our district? And I just kept going backpedaling, no. I'm not a politician. But the deeper and deeper that I got into it, the more and more that I was learning over being a 24/7 activist over this past year, over a year. Finally in June is when I decided to make the commitment to explore it. By September, I was committed 150% because I started to learn more about what our current representatives stood for, and it was the antithesis of what I stood for. For example, when I learned that he made that incredibly inflammatory statement that he would vote for slavery if his constituents wanted it, my hair stood on end. When I sat behind him in the legislature, when we were fighting to pass that historical equal rights amendment where we would ratify our constitution to protect women as equal to men, and I watched him vote no, my hair stood on end. And I couldn't stomach somebody not doing something. And when everyone kept pointing their finger at me saying, why don't you do this, Trish? I said, yeah.
Well, no, that's great. It's funny when the calling grabs you and reaches you and you decide to commit to it, it's interesting how everything changes and you decide when you push all your chips in and go all in that you become kind of a different person or your perspective changes. I've heard you talk earlier today, and some of the things that we talked about were healthcare, education, and transparency. Share a little bit about what you feel or your thoughts on the education part of it, because that's very interesting to me personally.
Sure. I call society a three-legged stool. I don't know if you were here earlier to hear me talking about that. And society cannot stand on that three-legged stool unless you have education, healthcare, and economy or jobs. You take any one of those away, that stool is going to fall. So that's pretty self-explanatory. You can have great healthcare, but by gosh, if you didn't have a job, the society falls. So that's explanatory. So the education system that I've learned over the last year since getting deeper and deeper involved is some of the aspects of what I see just are very, very simple. Just on the surface, we're only spending about $8,200 per student in the state of Nevada, whereas the national average is $11,700. So we're already way underfunding our students. That's like a big duh. Why aren't we investing more into the children? So if we don't get the education system up and rolling, those high-tech jobs that could potentially come in here, like Elon Musk's Tesla, et cetera, they're not going to be hired by that. So we have to tackle what in the flip is going on with our education system. And because I'm not an educator, my husband is an educator for 30 years, so I have to defer to other people, but that's what I plan on doing as far as boots on the ground, is reaching out to as many people as I can to try and put the puzzles together with the people who are very knowledgeable. And it's been remiss in our district as far as having a voice to fight for education. So those are like just the fundamental first steps of what we need to do. Funding, putting people together that actually will care about it, because the state has been remiss. And the transparency is something that I do feel very, very strong about, but it's not the top priority. It's underneath those three legs of that stool that I was talking about, which is getting the jobs, and I'm passionate about getting clean, renewable energy going in this state. My God, we can be, it's been coined by someone else, so it's not my new phrase, but we can be the Saudi Arabia of clean energy in this state. We got so much sunshine that we can be selling it. So this is a huge, huge industry that we can bring in, and bring in honorable jobs, daytime jobs, majority of them, by using that model and bringing that to the state. So did that...
Yeah. So I know that that the concept, back to education, one of the things that I look at as a parent who's pushed three kids through high school, and recognize that in the high school system, as my kids, in their career from K through 12, they spent about 15,000 hours in the system, and they came out the end being financially illiterate, being, having some lacking in different areas. And I'm of the opinion that certainly we need to fund adequately the system, but throwing money at the system doesn't necessarily make it better. You have to look at the underpinning, realities of how many teachers, what are their qualifications, how many administrators, where's the money being spent. Clark County has just a remarkable, number of people, 5,600, I think, make over 100,000 a year, and most of those people are in administration. But one of the things that has been interesting in the last election cycle, and is on the minds of many folks here in our district, is the notion that parents should be able to, if they want, take some of the state mandated money and send their kids to charter school or homeschool. Do you have any opinion on that notion?
Oh, you bet. I had a campaign going earlier on this year when they were trying to push for the school vouchers. I don't agree with school vouchers. So I had my own little private campaign going, where I was going to different organizations and groups of people, and I was asking them, are you for or against this? Have you learned of the issues? Do you understand what it's all about? If you're for it, cool. Stand over here. People who are against it, stand over here. I want to get photographs of you. And I was counting out the people, and I was getting signatures. And then every week, I was sending a big, thick envelope to Settlemyer of the photographs of the people who were opposed and who was for. And resoundingly, even people who are Republicans were saying, no, we do not want the school vouchers. We want to fix our public schools. So I believe in choice. You can go to any public school that you want, but let's not destroy the system that we've got, that we've been working for decades and decades and decades. Let's repair the system rather than blowing it up. Funds, if we're looking at school vouchers, you're getting a minimum of about $5,000, about $5,000 voucher. The majority of the good schools are going to cost considerably more than that. So the majority of the people who are the struggling families, the working families, are not going to be able to afford to send their kids to the good schools. So it's just, they're just going to keep going down the ladder further and further. So the middle class is going to the low class, and the low class is going to go to the poor. And it's only going to be the wealthy that are going to be able to send their kids to the good schools. So I am absolutely vehemently opposed to vouchers.
Excellent. Good. I'm glad to know that you have a strong opinion on that matter, because there's a lot of folks who feel, as you realize, strongly one way and the other. And it's important to know where you stand and what you're going to be representing when you get elected. The demographics of the district are fairly conservative. There's more Republicans than Democrats. You have an uphill battle. The fact that you're a woman, is represents a unique opportunity because half of the population, roughly, are women, and women will recognize and resonate with another woman's message and experience and background. I think that the fact that you're a Democrat running in a primarily Republican district isn't necessarily, the kiss of death. But one of the things that is important to talk about is, again, as I mentioned before, what do you stand for? And clearly the three legs of the stool, the economy, the healthcare, and the education are really the kitchen table issues that all of us face, right? One of the things that's interesting about Nevada's economy right now is that we've got about, according to statistics, 4% unemployment rate, which means everybody's working. A lot of people are working. But one of the things that's distressing about that number is that many of the jobs that those people have are not necessarily jobs that would allow them to afford an average house here in our area. So housing is an issue. The cost of living is an issue. If you're employed but you have a $15 or $20 an hour job, you may not be able to afford to buy a house, even if your spouse or your significant other, your partner, is making the same amount of money. And so the question is basically, when you talk about, say green jobs, for example, what would you focus on to try and bring up the level of all the boats in the harbor?
Okay, interesting question, and there's a lot of different levels to that, which could take longer than what we've got here.
Sure.
But one of the things that a lot of people don't look at, I believe, because it's been part of our culture for so long, is that we have an inequality, a gender inequality going on. And one of the missing links that I believe in today's times, and it ain't going back, we're not going backwards to the way it was before, it's just not gonna happen. So we have to address that if we had gender equality as far as pay, the families, the two-party working families where the mom and the dad both have to be out there working, if we can get the gender inequality back to an equal state, those families are going to be bringing in more income. I think that's one of the missing links going forward, that we have to address that. Families are just going to do better if the moms, the wives, are bringing in equal pay. Why don't people address that more in this equation of, well, we can't get ahead economically? If we've got both people making the same, we're going to have an increase in their quality of life. So that's just one step that we can go forward with this.
Excellent. Okay, well, we've covered a number of things. Tell people what your web presence is and how they can learn more about you on the internet.
Oh, thank you. Okay. The website is Ackerman, Ackerman, number 4, assembly, .com. And you can email me directly at my email, which is the same, Ackerman4assembly@gmail.com. And I will respond. If you send me a conscientious, respectful email,
right,
you will get a response from me. Also, I offer my cell phone to everybody. I've been warned by a few people that maybe I shouldn't do that. But this is the kind of transparency that I want with people. I want people to be able to reach out to me, to give me feedback, to give me advice, to give me insight, to gripe with me, tell me what their hurts are. Because this is going to be a boots on the ground. This is going to be a community-based governance. This is not going to be a Republican establishment leadership governance. This is community-based. So people reach out to me.
Excellent. No, that's great. You know, again, accessibility, that's one of the things that I enjoy about coming back here after leaving here early in my life, is the accessibility to the elected folks. So thank you very much. It's great talking to you. I really appreciate your time and look forward to seeing more of you out in the mosh pit that will be the election cycle of 2018. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right.
Okay, so that was my conversation with Patricia Ackerman, and you know, she listed her web address there. If you have more interest in what she's up to, definitely check out her website and reach out to her. I know she is very excited to be running. She's got a lot of passion and energy and enthusiasm. So if you want to learn more, reach out to her. In the meantime, as I mentioned, you know, we're looking for help to pay the lawyers to fight Mr. Gilman. It's pretty, the law appears to our lawyers to be very clear that the First Amendment and the United States Supreme Court both vigorously defend what it is that we're doing here. But Mr. Gilman is suing me, and we do need to defend ourselves. And so if you think that it's something that is that is important to you, we would love to have, even if it's $5, a donation. That would be very kind, and we would gratefully and humbly accept it and push the fight forward. So regardless, share us with a friend. Tell somebody who lives here in Story County or is interested in Story County politics about what we're doing. And we'll see you soon. Over and out.